Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the WTF1 That Time When series podcast. I'm joined by my two favourite people in this cupboard. It's Tom Bellingham and Dan Thorne. How are you both today?
Hello, good, thanks.
Yeah? Hello, yes, I'm good.
Oh, fantastic. That's you both are like, hello, I'm great. I'm also fantastic. Today, we're going to be talking about that time when there was aggregate qualifying. It's quite difficult to say aggregate. Aggregate qualifying in 2005. And
that's not elimination qualifying, it's aggregate.
Aggregate, which is when two things are added together.
Correct.
To make a time. But before we go into that, let's talk about qualifying in general and how it kind of developed before 2005. In 2003, we had one lap qualifying being introduced. Dan, yeah. What did they have kind of before that?
Well, for years, the qualifying was basically the same. There'd be an hour session on the Friday, an hour session on the Saturday. Whichever times were the fastest would set the grid. Then from 96, it went down to an hour session where each driver had 12 laps, including out and in laps, so it would be four laps basically to set the grid, which was really exciting at the end of sessions, but basically the first 40 minutes of each qualifying session was just watching the Minardis go around cleaning the track.
The literal sweepers.
Everyone wanted the better track conditions at the end, which is pretty much what made them change it, right?
Yeah. So after that, they went to one lap qualifying, which I personally loved because you got to see all the drivers set their laps, and drivers only had one chance to set their lap. So if they messed it up, that was it. And it would really separate some drivers from others. Like some were really good at it.
Mark Webber.
And others like
Yana Trilli.
Yeah, Yana Trilli. Others like David Coulthard perhaps weren't as good with the format.
Savage on.
Oh, I think
DC.
He said that himself.
Did he?
At the time, yeah, he said he didn't like it. I mean, that was about the time he dropped in form. So
I think it was. I really liked it because, you know, Lewis Hamilton or Sebastian Vettel, the amount of times, you know, they might have locked up in their first qualifying lap, and, you know, the commentators, they're all hyping it, saying, like, this is dramatic. What's going to happen? Like, is he going to make the cut? And you know he's going to make it because, you know, he's going to be so much faster on his next lap. Yeah. But you had that time where, you know, if you messed it up, you would start. Like, if Hamilton ran wide and locked up, you're starting from, like, 18th or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's an interesting one. The one lap qualifying format for me, when I used to watch it for as a spectacle, it's tense, isn't it? You know, as you say, if you make a mistake, you're further down the grid than maybe your car's performance would suggest. But also, I guess on the flip side, you didn't see as much cars going around the track. And maybe that was one of the reasons why for people that actually went to the race, because you'd see the car go around once and then they go to the pits and that's it. You know, so
yeah.
Especially if you're a fan of one particular driver, like. You know, you get a Saturday ticket and you're a diehard Kimi Raikkonen fan, you literally get to see him go around once and then you go home.
Yeah.
Rather than practice, obviously.
Which I guess is one of the reasons why they changed that, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Moving to 2005, which is the aggregate qualifying. I'll just call it aggregate from now on. Aggregate qualifying. Dan, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, by 2004, Bernie had got thoroughly bored of the one lap format.
It doesn't like the same. I was going to say he doesn't like change. He loves change.
He loves it. Yeah.
Especially qualifying.
Yeah,
he loved to change qualifying.
Aggregate qualifying was the next one.
And his initial proposal was to scrap the one lap format altogether, basically split qualifying up into two 20 minute sessions where each driver would have one lap at any point in that 20 minutes. They'd set the lap and then in each session, and then they'd have those times added together to set the grid, which...
Why would he have 20 minutes, though?
I don't know.
Because they'd all just want to go out
They probably
end,
just
right?
threw a dart at the board and said 20 minutes.
just had ideas on a dartboard.
Well, I suppose if you only had one lap, not everyone would want to go at the end because you get caught up in traffic. So it'd be, do you risk the better conditions or do you go out a bit earlier to get a clean lap?
And
so,
probably enough for TV time, right? Just
that's good, perfect. Good 20 minutes, 20 minutes advert break, another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They loved an ad break back then, didn't they?
Yes, it was ITV as well, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. God.
The amount of things we used to miss. Just because of ad breaks, back. Oh, change of the lead. Cool.
I'm sure F1 drivers deliberately waited to crash out or have an engine blow up.
You're on an ad break. Yeah. You can make a mistake.
Yeah.
So that was Bernie's idea. Was the 20 minutes then 20 minutes? But that's not what actually came to fruition, is it? Though.
No. They instead went for a new format, which was still the 1 hour, one lap qualifying session on a Saturday. Only this time it was on low fuel, and then on Sunday morning they would do another one lap qualifying session on race fuel, and then both times would be added together to set the grid.
Because obviously back then you used to obviously firstly have refueling, which was an element of strategy, but then also the fact that you had to set your amount of race fuel there and then in qualifying.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all an idea to mix up the grid. So if maybe a car was particularly strong on light fuel and wasn't good on race fuel, like you're setting different qualifying laps and you might be like second in one session and seventh in the other, and it sort of balances out and people get mixed up a little bit. That was the idea,
I guess. On paper, when you look at it, obviously it didn't work out too well, but on paper it does seem like something that would spice up the action, right?
You kind of
look at it and go, this could work, but then you have to think of all the factors that can change this, which is exactly what kind of made it a bit of a nightmare, right?
Yeah, I think the biggest nightmare was for broadcasters, because as you mentioned, the second session, so essentially the one that decides who is on pole, is on a Sunday morning. So if you think that broadcasters had spent the entire, this is what I remember for it when I was watching Formula One, broadcasters spent the entire time planning that qualifying is on Saturday and the race is on Sunday. Suddenly they're like, oh, the session that matters is on Sunday morning. So they have to change their whole time and everything, and it was
they didn't really put much kind of effort into the Saturday broadcasting.
Did a show, but now they have to do an extra show, and it's just a bit of a pain in the
I remember
arse.
Going to bed because the Australian Grand Prix, I remember going to bed that night and not knowing the grid because they hadn't done the qualifying session yet,
and that was the weirdest thing.
That was really weird. Yeah.
And also, if you think that the Australian Grand Prix happens at for us in the UK at about 5 a.m.
yeah,
normally, let's be honest, we get up at about
4:59.
Yeah,
and it'll be 5:10.
Yeah,
it's
or you know, watch a bit, maybe watch a bit of the coverage, but get up and watch the race.
Absolutely no coverage. Bed.
Sorry. Yeah, you would instead. Yeah, obviously they're needing to qualify now, so that's maybe 2 a.m. Oh, so you're getting up at 2 a.m. Nope. And then you're like, go to bed for another 4 hours and then get back. It's just awful. Like for broadcasters and scheduling, it was a nightmare really, because you lost all the hype of Saturday, so they probably lost a lot of viewers on the Saturday show.
Yeah, they did.
And Sunday morning, and it just didn't work, personally. Like, it was a broadcaster's nightmare, and fans didn't like it either, from what I remember.
No, and that wasn't the only issues that it brought up, was it? There was, Australian Grand Prix, rain interrupted the first session, which created a completely mixed-up grid, which kind of, again, highlighted this whole problem with the format, that you know, people can't just rush out and set a lap because they're in a queue to go and do their lap times.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I liked about one lap qualifying in like the normal one, was because rain midway through a session would really mix up the grid. Like Suzuka 2005, that race would not have happened under the current qualifying format.
That was one where Raikkonen started 17th and won, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they were hoping for the entire time of messing about with all these qualifying formats, is essentially to do a reverse grid without reversing the grid.
And
the way they wanted to do that was hoping it would rain halfway through a session of one lap qualifying.
But in Australia for the first aggregate time, it was just completely disastrous, because the rain on the Saturday session meant that the gaps between all the drivers was so huge that when it was dry on Sunday, there was literally nothing for anyone to gain or lose unless they really messed up.
Yeah, so when you compare, I've got the Q1 sessions here. So Fisichella was fastest after Q1 and actually was on pole in the end. He did a 1:33.1, and then you have Michael Schumacher, who did a 1:57.9.
I've got here that Raikkonen finished in the top 10 with a lap time 14 seconds off pole position.
Yeah. And,
is that right?
Yeah, that's yeah. correct.
And Karthik Kayan outqualified Alonso. On his debut. Cool. On his debut. Yeah. yeah. So I actually did watch, I found a video of this on YouTube. And so it was dry. And as Michael Schumacher, so how it worked was someone was doing their lap and then someone would do their out lap, right, they were doing it. Yeah, so it just saved time. So as soon as that person finished, they were coming around the final corner to start their fast lap. And it absolutely chucked it down with rain while Michael Schumacher had already gone out the pits on slick tyres. And, you know, it kind of summed up his year because 2005 was one of the only years where he didn't do very well.
Yeah.
And you think he had all that luck and, well, not luck, he was amazing, obviously.
Yes, let's not start that
debate. Well, he, you know, everything was going right for him. And then it kind of summed up his year that he went out on slicks and it started chucking it down with rain, like apocalyptic rain.
Yeah.
And yeah, it completely threw the qualifying results all over the place, which is what they wanted. The only problem was you now had another session on Sunday, which arguably was pointless.
Yeah,
because obviously you've got Schumacher that's put a 157 in. He didn't even bother setting a time in the second qualifying, so there's
no point.
I mean, he was 8 seconds behind Christian Albers, who also didn't bother going out, so he could have actually started 17th, but you know, something that he maybe missed there. But
I mean, it was a bit of a mockery of the first attempt of doing it. I mean, if they'd have literally just kept one lap qualifying, you would have had this awesome mixed up grid for the first race, which was great, and obviously it did happen, but it was just a shame that on the Sunday afterwards you had to have this pointless session that didn't really do a lot. Like, people were trying to go out and it was dry, so you kind of had to go out because your times were being added together, so you had to do a lap. But you weren't going to make up, like Kimi Raikkonen wasn't going to make up a 14-second deficit in the dry, was it?
I mean, it was the worst introduction to a new format ever, right? Well, maybe not.
Elimination.
Elimination qualifying. Which actually brings on, unless Dan, you had any more thoughts on that, I was going to bring up the, was this the worst qualifying format ever?
Well, there was some benefits of the aggregate qualifying. I mean, it took until, I mean, after Monaco that season, it was scrapped and they went back to the old system because it was just so unpopular. But funnily enough, that was probably the best qualifying session under the aggregate one. Because on the Saturday, Kimi Raikkonen set a blistering lap for a provisional pole. But then the team had to judge on the Sunday how much fuel you put in, because you don't want to light fuel at Monaco and then pit early and get stuck in traffic. Mm. So they had to go with as much as possible. And they absolutely nailed it. And he just about held on to pole from Alonso, giving him pole and plenty of fuel for the race, and that was quite exciting then.
Yeah, I guess it adds an element of strategy for the fans to kind of be guessing, you know, who's got how much fuel, which again, you know, was the whole part of refueling and qualifying, was that everyone was always guessing it. But I guess it added that element of, okay, I've got 4 tenths in the bag, so we can risk it a bit more. But I guess that's for the hardcore F1 fan, isn't it? That's the one that can really enjoy it.
I think regardless of how good the grid gets mixed up and strategy, for broadcasters it's a nightmare, for fans it's a nightmare, because, you know, it ruins all the hype of the Saturday, you know.
Yeah, it's not
we
worth
all like watching qualifying and knowing who's on pole for the next day, and then you get hyped for
it's not
race
worth
day.
Yeah, it's not worth like 10 or 12 rubbish sessions just for the one time it's good, you know. It doesn't make sense.
And they scrapped it, didn't they?
Six races the season, yeah,
which was longer than elimination qualifying. At least
that was two, was it?
Two
did
races,
it twice
two,
and then decided.
And they were like, oh, Jesus, this is dreadful. So are we all in agreement that elimination qualifying was the worst qualifying format to ever grace Formula One?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, aggregate qualifying, I think it adds an element of, I may even prefer this kind of qualifying to what we've got now.
I think if it had come about today with streaming and, you know, more coverage, it might have worked a bit better. But back when Formula One was on free-to-air TV, which was a good thing, but obviously they couldn't fit that extra coverage into the schedule, and, you know, it might work today, it might not.
What could have worked as well, if they'd have done it on the Friday, and everyone's always complaining that, you know, Friday doesn't really matter and you kind of want to watch some F1 on Friday, but you could end up, you know, watching it on Friday, and also it still doesn't, for the really hard so the casual fans, it doesn't really matter that much if you miss it,
yeah,
because then Saturday is where it matters.
So I'm going to post one last question before we go then. So what could Formula One do at the moment then to improve qualifying format? For me, it's bringing back that tension. I feel like even for maybe the top 10 shootout, maybe we have a one lap qualifying for that element. I don't know, but something that, you know, so that we don't have a Hamilton, Vettel, etc., having 2-3 attempts at pole position. I don't personally, it is tense obviously when they're all finishing the lap, but it's not that element of, oh, if they mess up, they're going to be 10th. It's they mess up, they're going to be second, first.
I agree. I would personally like to see that. I do really like the current format. I think it's a good compromise of, there's a little bit of a, you know, uncertainty, especially if it rains during the session, that it's broken up into those three parts. So you have had moments where Hamilton's not made it into Q2 or whatever. Maybe the final session they go, let's go one lap qualifying. You get to watch everyone on track.
Yeah, because I guess the thing is, you know, a lot of people say, you know, why is there not good racing? Why do we not get loads of overtakes? But when you put them on the grid in the fastest to slowest, you're never usually going to get that amount of good racing.
Yeah.
Shock that the cars that are 2 seconds a lot quicker than everyone and start the race first to sixth don't, and there's not overtaking. It's like, yeah.
Like, think of all the great, I know it's not for the right reasons because it's grid penalties, but all the great races we've had where, you know, Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, whoever, have started at the back of the grid.
You know, well, like you were saying, 2005 Japanese Grand Prix, many consider it to be probably one of the greatest races of all time, and it's because you had Alonso, Schumacher, Kimi Raikkonen all starting lower than 10th, and some random people up at the front.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, qualifying, I'm not a massive fan of it. You know, I don't get that invested in it. I'm all about the racing.
Reverse grid, that's what you want then, immediate from championship.
If there was a way to get a reverse grid that wasn't totally, like, ridiculous, arbitrary,
then like F2,
that's a little bit, you know, I'm not a fan of the way they do it in F2.
It's tough, makes isn't exciting, it? Because get why Bernie, joking aside, I know we made like a video mocking his ideas and stuff a little bit, but at the end of the day, he did have a point that if you reverse the grid, you're going to get better races. The problem is,
how do you do it
without everyone, you know, just driving slowly on purpose, or it just really unfairly punishing a team for being better than other people?
Well, it's maybe a topic of conversation for another time. I think we've exhausted the 2005 aggregate qualifying discussion. Any last points from you guys?
Yano truly was pretty good at it.
Yeah,
and Mark Webber.
I already said that.
No, you said he was good at the one lap. I'm saying the aggregate.
Oh, okay. Where did he finish?
He was like second. I think he was like third in Bahrain or something like that, in Malaysia.
Mark Webber was third as well. Everybody.
Oh, yes.
What was he driving in 2005? Williams. Yeah, so they weren't that good.
His teammate was seventh, Nick Heidfeld. There you go. But then I think he had some rain because he was 3 seconds slower in Q1. So maybe we'll say it's just down to Mark Webber and not the
conditions. Everyone should be encouraged to go on the 2005 Australian Grand Prix Wikipedia page and just look at how hilarious the qualifying result is.
Yeah,
it's like if the FIA was being really strict with 107%, you'd have had like 3 cars on the grid or something.
Yeah,
that is actually ridiculous. Right, thank you very much everybody for listening, and to Tom Bellingham and Dan Thorne for joining me once again. It's been a pleasure. Hope you guys have enjoying the new format. It's that time when I'm quite enjoying it, actually. I think it's quite a nice chill discussion. You know, you two are very much the brains of what's going on, and I'm just the punter that's going, I want this, I don't want this. So I think it works beautifully. Let us know what you guys think. Leave us a message on Twitter using the hashtag WTF1podcast. Leave us a comment, review, leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts, anything to basically give us some feedback, right?
Yeah,
and we want your ideas and discussions too, so let us know what you would like us to talk about, and we'll put it on the list, won't we?
We sure will.
Perfect. I love asking you random questions, Tommy.
I knew you were going to do it. I was prepared.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, goodness me.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.